From the makers of this podcast comes a brand new show. It's called NPTE StudyCast. If you're studying for the NPTE, this is the show you need to listen to, period. It's available on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and wherever podcasts are heard. Short, sweet, and to-the-point episodes from board-certified clinical specialists and physical therapy professors on all the topics you need to know to take the NPTE. NPTE StudyCast, available now on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and more.
NPTE StudyCast,
the number one NPTE podcast
in the world.
All right, in this episode, we got a chance to talk with Chad Cook of Duke University's DPT program. He's kicking off a research boot camp course available now on the MedBridge platform. That's a web-based or app-based on your phone CEU platform. If you want to get taught by top instructors, look no further than MedBridge. They're the industry leader in high-quality physical therapy online continuing education. One flat rate, all your CEUs in one spot, over 1,000 accredited online courses, and over 5,000 assignable and video-based HEP exercises. Chad doing a research boot camp course on there. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about him submitting a paper that's completely nuts just to see if it would get accepted. The first round is brought to you by Owens Recovery Science, a single source for PTs looking for certification in blood flow, restriction, rehabilitation training, and the equipment you need to apply it. Check them out online at owensrecoveryscience.com. And Johnny's got a podcast, Owens Recovery Science Podcast. That's available on iTunes and wherever podcasts are heard.
The best conversations happen at happy hour. Welcome to ours.
Welcome aboard.
This is the PT Pinecast. Here's your host, physical therapist, Jimmy McKay.
The best conversations happen at happy hour. Welcome to ours. The next episode of the PT Pinecast starts right now. Our guest today is the program director of the Doctor of Physical Therapy Division with a Category A appointment in the Duke Clinical Research Institute. A clinical researcher, physical therapist, and profession advocate with a long-term history of clinical care excellence and service and 17 years of academic experience. His passions include refining and improving the patient examination process and validating tools used in day-to-day physical therapist practice. He's also a fellow of the American Academy of Orthopedic Manual Therapy. With more than 200 peer-reviewed papers, keynote addresses on six continents, he has a long-standing history of service roles as the editor-in-chief or associate special topics editor for multiple journals, including JOSPT and BJSM. On the show today, Dr. Chad Cook. Chad, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Jimmy. It's a pleasure to be here.
Now, in your intro, I mean, a little bit let down, only keynote addresses on six continents, Chad. What's up with that?
Well, Antarctica is a tough gig to get. But I'm working on it.
Yeah. Well, let's put it this way. The first PT conference on Antarctica, I'm not going to be shocked when I see your name on the headline.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, we may be waiting a while.
Now, we were just at Duke before we hit record for this episode. We were just at Duke a couple months ago. Wanted to give a nod to the students and the faculty down there for putting on or helping to put on amongst the rest of the state of North Carolina. Just a great conference that the students really took charge of. So kudos on you and the rest of the faculty and the students there in North Carolina.
We have a pretty exceptional clay to work with. Our students are pretty amazing. We have to keep them from doing too much.
Yeah.
Very lucky.
Actually, but after that conference, had another one of your students who actually just graduated in this last class, Merritt Walker, told his story about what he learned from, you know, applying to PT school and failure and what he did with that failure, which is such a great story. And now Merritt's on his way to do a residency up in Massachusetts. So, you know, like when you're talking about that clay, the PT profession is big guns coming up through the ranks right now.
Merritt is an amazing guy. And we were, you know, he ended up at Duke. We were so lucky to get him, and he just roamed the hallways, talked to the faculty. He was everyone's favorite.
Yeah, I loved it because he literally said that thing that we hope people say when they experience failure, which is they looked inward. What can I do? You know, instead of just pointing the blame, he told just a great story. I improved myself. I needed to get better, and he did. So, yeah, I'm glad he was at Duke as well. Yesterday, as we record, was September 11th, and I was actually on your Twitter feed. I want to bring this up first. You got to meet Technical Sergeant Zach Reiner, who won the Air Force's Cross, two Purple Hearts, a Bronze Star, Air Force Combat Action Medal, credited with saving over 100 lives in 2008. What was that experience like?
Well, it was like meeting a celebrity. Yeah. I mean, I was giddy. This guy was amazing and the most humble and approachable, kind. I mean, he was asking me, what do I need to do? Do you think I have the stuff to get into PT school? I'm just slobbering all over myself at this guy because he is such a hero.
So that was his goal. That's, I just saw the picture that you had tweeted out, and you tweeted out the link to his story, and I was captivated by it. Is that what the interaction was? Is he looking to become a PT?
He is. What a great person to get into this profession. You know, we've been pushing this concept of grit and emotional intelligence and perseverance. And we feel at Duke that that's probably the most important ingredient or ingredients to be a really great PT. That's what Merritt has. That's what a lot of our students have. And Zach, you think he has that?
Yeah. I mean,
in droves.
Good luck if you're competing for a spot and his interview comes up. And tell me a story when you had faced adversity. You know, good luck trying to top that one.
Yeah, seriously.
All right. Well, we brought you in today to talk about a course that you've just released recently on MedBridge. And of course, MedBridge, a great platform online for continuing education, not only credits, but the ability to stay up to date on the latest in practice and research. It's a great platform. You can take it anywhere, both on your computer and available in the form of an app as well. Talk about boot camp. Now that we're going from, you know, Zach Reiner to MedBridge, I think it's a good transition. It's called boot camp.
It is. And, you know, I did it with my good friend and colleague, Ken Learman, and we saw a gap in how to acquire information about research, how do you read research? How do you assimilate research? What does research mean? We saw a lot of misinformation regarding research, and we didn't see a one-stop shop to get this information. We love MedBridge. I've actually been affiliated with MedBridge about 7 years. And when I approached them about this, as usual, they're always thinking ahead. And they said, well, how can we frame this in a way that the lay population of clinicians, OTs, PTs, whomever, could watch this and actually get something that's transferable in clinical practice.
Who do you think is actually going to benefit from this type of class the most? We see a lot of interactions in research, and I'm using air quotes now, on social media. Just what you kind of just described, there's a lack of knowledge or understanding on the interpretation, the credibility, and the transferability of that published research. I think a lot of those interactions, especially on social media, people Google what they're looking to prove, find an abstract that kind of does that, and then they post that as their defense. But are they really looking into what that actually says, and is it credible?
Oh, it isn't. And you nailed it with respect to social media. People use research the wrong way. If they really understood research, and that's one of the things we discuss at bootcamp, is that there's never a slam dunk, this is absolutely the truth regarding an intervention or some element. A person needs to have an understanding that there's a lot of gray and how to interpret that information in front of you. It isn't about using research to bully somebody or to prove a point or anything like that. Unfortunately, that's how social media uses research. I almost think that those individuals that are guilty of that, you're never going to fix that. But the populations that probably would benefit the most, I would say academicians that maybe have an academic doctorate but haven't really used it in research, or individuals that maybe have a DPT but are in academia, and also the day-to-day clinician to be able to navigate research and understand it. I think that's the biggest audience. I do believe that's the population that's actually watching it the most on MedBridge too.
Yeah, we talk about lifelong learners, especially after you graduate from PT school. And, you know, listen, we covered research in PT school, but you're doing it while you're learning so many different things. Everything's coming at you 100 miles an hour. To say that that's all the information that you need on how to appraise research and then apply it, which is even harder, to say that that's all you need to do, well, that can't be it, right?
Oh, no way. And you know how it is. And while individuals are in PT school, while they're learning this, it is such a secondary interest. Right. By most individuals. Right. I joke around in class because I do teach our EBP series at Duke, and I say about 4 people are going to be interested in this topic, and the rest are just going to have to endure it. And that's really unfortunate because it really sets the table on a person's understanding of evidence as they get out in practice.
So walk us through the course. What does it look like when someone jumps on MedBridge and takes this? You know, what sort of like the highlights will they be able to really sink their teeth into?
Well, we built a certification series out of it, and we did that because we have found that, and when individuals learn and they take on these chunks of information that build upon themselves, that they get a better learning experience afterward. So it's actually a series of several courses that discuss different elements of research, including statistics or methodology or an understanding of research, and including some of my favorite courses that have to do with fake research, which is really big right now. and how to identify fake research, what elements or what research is out there right now that is fake, that has been proven to be fake. And all of this, which is increases the level of interest, I think. If we just sat there and slaughtered people with statistics or research methodology, I think it would be very difficult to consume. But we try to make it applicable to a given setting.
That's probably most important. I want to see where I'm going to be able to apply this tomorrow for the payoff anyway, for the typical in the trenches clinician, right?
And that's the challenge, I think, with just going and selecting random articles from publications. You know, it may or may not be applicable to your patient population. The environment in which the study was done may not be applicable. And certainly where it is along the phase of its clinical trial may or may not be applicable to a person's environment as well. And we try to touch on all those things in the research bootcamp course.
Love that. So someone walking away from this bootcamp, and I love how it's set up like that, where we are going to put you through exactly what bootcamp is. We're going to put you through the paces of all different things to make sure when you come out of it, you're fit. You're ready to take on whatever comes down the line. You're not going to just teach us about an article. You're going to teach us how to go out there and, you know, catch our own fish.
We even have a course, and MedRich actually requested this because a lot of residency programs require their residents to actually write case reports. We actually go through a full course on how to write a case report. Those things are really useful to anyone, especially those that deal day to day with, you know, the care of patients.
On Twitter, you got into an interaction. Someone asked you how to improve access and provide a robust review model in terms of at a reasonable cost in terms of research. And you suggested paying reviewers. I think most people don't even understand how things are actually reviewed. Most of the time, reviewers are not paid.
Yeah, and almost all the time they're not paid. And it's funny because if you really peel the onion layers away, most publishing groups like Elsevier, Sage, they have 40% profits. That's higher than Apple. We're talking millions upon millions of dollars. They make a mint on these journals. And now they're charging researchers to actually publish journals, but they do not take that money and distribute it out to those which are the backbone of the peer review system, and that's the reviewers. They don't offer anything to the reviewers. My suggestion is if you want good reviewers, then start paying for them. This one gets me hot. We do talk about the peer review system in bootcamp, by the way, because it's a very imperfect system. It's riddled with bias. It's riddled with conflicts of interest. But unfortunately, it's the best system that we have right now. As a person that is probably requested to review 5 to 10 manuscripts a week, and if you really sink some time into that, you're looking at a 1 to 2 hour commitment for paper. It's just too much time. And there's never even any discussion about paying the reviewer.
That they like to tout is that peer-reviewed aspect of it.
Without that, they're a tabloid. And I know a number of other individuals are starting to be very vocal about having a movement in this area. And then I think with the recent disclosures about how much money they're actually making, there may be some traction with that.
And that's what it probably would need to take, right? Would need to take a movement, a bunch of people saying, coming together, the leaders, you know, in being asked to review stuff, saying we're not doing it until you compensate people fairly.
And Jimmy, what we've seen is there's such a recognition that there's big money to be made in this, and that academicians actually need to publish for their career goals. That you've seen all these fake journals that have been created that claim that they're peer reviewed, but they're actually not. We actually did a sting recently. You probably know Josh Cleland and Paul Mitkin. We recently wrote a fake paper up about a dead person that we brought back to life with spinal manipulation. And we submitted it, and it was laced with inaccuracies and with just things that any normal person, if they read it, they would realize it was a hoax. It was accepted without any changes. There are 8,000 of these journals out there now that are fake journals, and it's really tainting the peer review system.
What was the title on that? I gotta know.
We were actually writing an editorial up for JOSPT on this, but it was something like the temporal effect of repeated spinal manipulations on mortality.
Oh my God.
Or some kind of baloney title like that.
That is classic.
Yeah, it's great. There are actually several people that have published these fake papers. One person just wrote 3,000 times, "Get me off your mailing list," and that was actually accepted and published.
Yeah, I've seen a couple examples of individuals using, you know, artificial intelligence or just repeating a phrase like you just mentioned, and it gets published without question.
Yeah, and that's a case where you do need a peer reviewer. Unfortunately, there's so many of those now that it's you're starting to see source amnesia bias, where people are, they're elevating the level of information they have regardless of where the source came from. And there's a definitive hierarchy in journals. And that's really troublesome, because on social media, people will argue a fact from maybe a low-level journal, when in reality, it shouldn't be at the same level as the other information that's out there.
And that's just another thing that you'll be able to walk out of and understand how to get to that conclusion of how do you actually rate and clinically appraise the different types of research. Just because it's printed does not mean it's true. Rehabilitation research boot camp, you've got errors, frauds, and outliers, publishing a case report, and then clinical appraisal is just a couple of the different topics on this MedBridge course. It looks like it's pretty comprehensive. And when you walk out of there, you'll have a great understanding of that thing we call research.
That's the best we can do. I think, you know, we're not going to be creating researchers with this series, but what it's going to do is create a person that is more savvy, and they're going to be able to navigate research better and to understand where it fits within the field of information that is out there. I mean, there are 2 million papers published every year. There's no way that all can be navigated. If you just look at low back pain, you're probably looking at 30,000 papers a year on low back pain. No one knows everything. But understanding what that information means is really the crux behind the bootcamp series.
Rehabilitation Research Bootcamp, available now on the MedBridge platform.
Stand by.
Stay tuned. We'll be right back to the PT Pinecast.
All right, show today brought to you by the Brooks Institute of Higher Learning, an innovator in providing advanced post-professional education. Brooks IHL offering continuing education courses in numerous specialty areas, 6 PT residency programs, an OMPT fellowship, as well as challenging but rewarding internships. The IHL specializes in the translation of information from evidence to patient management. Learn what they can do for you to support your professional development at brooksihl.org.
Hey guys, Maestro here, and I want to personally invite you to Rockstock 2018, the movement experience of the year. Join us in sunny Miami Beach, Florida on October 27th and 28th for movement, laughter, dancing, music, fun, and yes, you will get CEUs. The lineup is absolute fire, including yours truly and your girl, Dr. Court Conley. So head on over to rocktape.com, use the code PTPintcasters18 to save yourself some money. I'll see you there.
Let's do this. Back to the PT Pinecast with Jimmy McKay.
Chad, are you ready? We're going to do 3 questions. You prep for that?
Oh, okay.
3 questions brought to you by our sponsors from Aureus Medical Staffing. They find physical therapist jobs anywhere in the 50 U.S. states. All settings, they'll get you taken care of. If you were to go, I know you're in North Carolina, but if you were given carte blanche, you can go anywhere in the 50 U.S. states for a quick 13-week assignment. Where would you want to go?
That's a great question. So I love the Yellowstone region.
Oh, yeah.
Been there twice. It's just incredibly beautiful. You almost become immune to the beauty. There's every turn you make, there's something fantastic. So Yellowstone, Tetons, if I had 13 weeks, I think I would sink some time into that.
Love that. Yeah, you can't complain about areas like that. Second question is, what's something that you read recently that really inspired you?
Let me think. I just finished. I was a huge fan. I grew up in St. Louis. I was a huge fan of Keith Hernandez.
Oh, yeah.
Growing up, and when he was a cardinal, and I just read his autobiography, and it's interesting, but it inspired me because he wasn't a very good person back when he played ball. You got a sniff of that when I was young. I was in high school, you know, I'd heard things that maybe he wasn't that good of a person, but it really verified that. But he kind of flipped and realized that he wasn't that good. So I guess that part of it is that people can change and they can recognize their own limitations.
And he was even open enough to being able to say that in his biography.
It was. He was very self-critical. I thought he did a nice job.
Probably easier, you know, back in the 80s when Hernandez was playing, to kind of hide something like that. Lack of social media, all you were seeing most of the time was on TV.
For sure. And, you know, I used to go to Cardinal caravans. The team would travel to different cities and you would go and meet the players. And they all smoked and they were all drinking. And, you know, and if you're young and you're looking at this and this is a ball player.
Right.
But you're right. That, you know, their lives were fairly private.
Third question on 3 questions is, who is someone that the audience should know more about? Maybe they're doing great work, but they're flying under the radar.
Oh, wow. That's a great question. Okay. So one of the smartest researchers that I know that also has incredibly and fantastic training and targets ideas that are really important about 5 years before people recognize that is a guy named Steve Camper. And he's an Australian fellow, cyclist, beer drinker with an epi background, just a really, really smart read. Any of his papers are fantastic. So probably Steve Camper.
Beer drinker, you have me a beer drinker and smart guy. Those two things go together. Right? All right, you're off the hot seat. That's three questions from Arius Staffing. Check out their website, AURUSmedical.com. They've got positions all over the 50 U.S. states, probably something near Yellowstone if you wanted to check it out. Short-term, long-term, all different settings. Quite simply, they just try to find physical therapists' jobs. Last part of the show is the parting shot.
This is the parting shot.
For one last parting shot, maybe that sentiment that you would leave with the students after they're leaving your research course, if they're not one of the three or four who are definitely in love or definitely want to be a researcher, what would you leave with the audience about research?
I would say this. You're probably familiar with Rogers' innovation curve, where you have early adopters,
yep,
and then you have later adopters and then laggards. And I think with research, it's okay to be a late adopter. A lot of times there are all these new ideas that are flying out, and in our profession, we jump on things right away and support it. And then by the time the research catches up with the new idea, we realize it's really not that special. If anything, if somebody walks away from taking the boot camp series or being trained with research, be cautious, be patient, you know, be skeptical about anything you have. Don't be inappropriately skeptical, but just realize there's no silver bullet with respect to interventions.
I love that. The course available now through MedBridge, as we mentioned, Research Bootcamp from Chad Cook. Chad, appreciate you taking some time out. I've already heard rumblings. Kyle Covington mentioned coming back down to Duke to do another live show. So we'll have to make sure we rope into that one and get some good beers before and after.
Like I said, beers, I'm in. So definitely.
Dr. Chad Cook from Duke University, appreciate you taking some time out to talk to us on the show.
Thank you, Jimmy.
The PT Pinecast is a product of PT Pinecast LLC. It is hosted and produced by PT Pinecast CEO Jim McKay and CBO Sky Donovan from Marymount University. We talk PT, drink beer, and record it. This has been another pour from the PT Pinecast. The PT Pinecast is intended for educational purposes only. No clinical decision-making should be based solely on one source. While care is taken to ensure accuracy, factual errors can be present. More on the show at ptpinecast.com.
Our home on the internet.
ptpinecast.com.
Created by Build PT. Build PT provides marketing services specifically for private practice PTs.
From website development and hosting,
providing content marketing solutions
for PT clinics across the country.
See what Build PT can do for you today
at buildpt.com.
Be a leader in advancing patient outcomes with APTA's Physical Therapy Outcomes Registry. You can leverage your EHR data to benchmark outcomes without added data entry. That's right, there's no additional work. You'll be able to optimize your practice with easy-to-use reports, market your practice to patients, payers, and referring physicians, and maximize payment. It's the only nationwide registry building integrations for PT practices, regardless of what EHR you have. Sign up for a demo now at ptoutcomes.com/go.
That's ptoutcomes.com/go.
The Physical Therapy Outcomes Registry, brought to you by the American Physical Therapy Association.